He was ducks of his high school and worked as a brickie, a shop assistant, and at an abattoir before finding a career in comedy. Please welcome part of the Mix 94.5 family, Husey. It's
Oh. Started in an abattoir and then hosts or gives out the gold logie. What a journey.
Hey, Husey.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, hey, legends. Yeah, it's an unbelievable journey. I mean, you know, the abattoir and the logies, both meat markets.
That's true. I mean, Husey, we did see you presenting, of course, the gold logie. Here's a moment of that.
And the winner of the gold logie for 2022 is...
Could you tell us again, who was it?
Hamish Blood!
Were you excited?
He thanked me for putting extra mayo on his name. So, yeah, no, I was excited. I actually kept the card, actually. So, yeah, I've got that in my collection. Oh, so,
nice. Yeah.
Did you have a fun night? Was it good?
No, it was a long night, guys. It's basically a hostage situation. So, you get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the red carpet, and I'm on stage at 11:30. So that's a fair bit of prayer. That's how many hours? That's 6.5 hours, is it?
It's yeah.
So is there anywhere you can pop off in between? Like, you know, if you're just sort of you're there, you make an appearance, and then you head out, you get something to eat, you come back later.
Well, the problem with me is that I'm presenting the gold logie, and they wanted me to do a bit of comedy before it. So, you know, I didn't want to miss a moment. No. You know what I mean? So someone could have fallen over at some point. And if I'm, you know, down, you know, getting a kebab while that happened, then I've got no idea what the funniest moment is. So I was there for the whole thing. Goodness gracious.
I mean, they do have a green room. It's called the toilet cubicle, don't they? At the Logies.
They do, but they patrol it. They patrol it looking for trouble.
So. You know, Husey, I was saying, though, I don't think that in the previous years that the Logies had been on top of everyone's mind, but it feels like maybe we're looking forward to celebrating something. Did it feel like this year there was a bit more interest around it? People were vibing it a bit more?
Well, I think they were. And they also opened it up so that all the networks could campaign. So, you know, so there was a lot more ads on all the networks, you know, vote for our person, you know. So I think that does add to it. It's something that everyone mocks, and I appreciate that, and I'm part of the mocking of the event. But I turn up. I've been presenting at the Logies for bloody 20 years, you know, so and never won one myself. So but I'm basically a Deliveroo driver, you know.
Husey, thinking ahead to next year, you know, just in ways we could improve it, did one of the presenters need to be slapped on air or anything like that?
Well, that's what I said. I actually Chris Rock said moment. At the end of it was on 11:30 at night, so you've missed my bit, and I appreciate that.
But sorry, brother.
We're breakfast announcers, as you know.
I get it. You check it out on YouTube. But, yeah, I was encouraging one of them to come up and you know, slap me, because Chris Rock sold out his world tour. That's I think he was slapped by Will Smith. So I actually said I want Ray Maher to come up and, you know, punch me in the knackers.
Nice. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Now, I like to think of myself as reasonably self-aware. I'm incredibly flawed as a human being, but I'm aware of it. I know.
Which makes it okay.
It makes it okay. Really? But one of the many things to add to the list of flaws is I think I might be a little bit of a hoarder. Now, my dad, Miroslav, I remember once we were coming back from the Bayswater Hotel where we'd been indulging in his favourite activities, beer, cigarettes and at the TAB, and he saw a ring, a black rubber ring on the ground, and he went, I might use that. And he picked it up and I sort of laughed at him at the time. And about 3 years later, he had the old videotape player out completely apart. Yeah. He was trying to fix it and he went, that ring, right? And he used it and he fixed it. Now, that's genius.
Yeah.
I don't pick up things that are useful, but my garage was full of things that I'd grabbed off curbsides that I'd put in there and that simply, yeah, that it was junk.
That's like you came here clean slate because, you know, years ago you were living on the East Coast.
Yes.
You were in Melbourne and you came over and you just had a guitar and a suitcase of clothes.
Yeah. I've made up for lost time. So we got a skip bin, right?
Oh, God.
And I got all that anxiety. Like, I knew it was arriving. This was, Friday or Thursday morning. And I knew it was arriving. And while I was at work, I was thinking, oh, please, no one fill it up. You know, that thing.
That is such a stress. You're like, what day do I get it? Because I don't want any of my neighbours to fill it with their rubbish before I get home.
Totally. Well, we filled it with all the junk, right? Yeah. And then once we'd done our bit, I said to the neighbours, by all means, you know, any gaps, as long as it doesn't go over the lip, you know, go for it. So finally, we've got this clean garage, right?
Awesome. Thinking,
this is awesome. Until my wife, T, walks in and goes, what the hell is that? And it's like, I've picked out things that the neighbours have put into the skip bin that are now in our garage.
No!
What can I do, eh? I'm like Gollum.
We're all running out of cash.
Yeah.
Things are getting expensive. Eating is expensive. And the West Australian today has brought back wartime recipes.
Maybe we can bring the boys back home and they'll be hungry. What are we going to cook for them? Everything's so bloody expensive. Don't worry. Look at Karen. She's bought a whole cow and she's slicing it up herself. That's it, Karen. That's the way. Dice that bladder. Australia, it's a great place to live.
Isn't it just?
Oh.
Yeah, time to get out your CWA cookery book and household hints, you know, the old classic CWA book. I think that's in like its 60-something edition now.
Wow.
But in the paper today, they've put a recipe in for steak and kidney pudding.
Right.
Because they're saying we can't afford to just have meat and veg anymore.
Yep.
We're going to have to start going back to some of the old times where we have to make with what we've got.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, obviously, my grandparents were war people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so my Polish grandmother had been through incredible poverty, refugee, whatnot. So she lived that life anyway, even though we didn't need to. There were always things being saved, bread crusts,
yep.
breadcrumbing, you know, they knew how to save money.
One or two servings of offal.
Well, the Polish and poor. I mean, there was offal every
everywhere.
Day. Yeah, offal on your toast.
Well, you know, they were saying they've spoken to Gary Hine, the owner of the Naked Butcher in Mundaring,
right.
in the West Australian here, and he's saying that, you know, there are that many people that are doing it tough that he said people are coming in and buying whole carcasses.
Wow.
To try and save money and to go bulk share it with their families or to freeze it.
Good way to do it.
Mm.
What? What are you talking about? Like, I can't. Who takes home a whole pig? What do you do? Because cutting it themselves, like you're just putting it in the bath.
Well,
is that what you're doing? You're putting it in the bath.
I did it when we made the Calabrese sausage. I was part of that process, and it was, as I told you at the time, a bit confronting. But we did it, and at the end of the day, I felt better because we used the entire animal.
But I struggled to get a box in my car at IKEA last week, and I'm not putting a lamb in the back of my Mazda, like just jamming it on the seat.
You're going to need a chest freezer, I think, in the garage or something.
You could sit it upright and put the seatbelt on it.
I don't know how you have, like, I mean, I've cheaped out. I've been a uni student. I understand when you have to put together meals and you haven't got any money.
2-minute noodles and cheese. Bang.
Is that yours?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I didn't mind a meagering, the meagering meals, because it felt like it had, if you put some extra chili in it.
Yeah.
But what's your wartime recipe? What's the recipe you're putting together when you've got no food? I know growing up we ate a lot of bubble and squeak.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Or the curried sausages were a favourite when we were a little bit tight on the money.
Yeah.
Sausages.
Brendan in Rolly Stone, what's yours?
Bread and dripping.
Oh, God, Brendan.
It's a bit of a British classic, isn't it?
What is dripping?
Dripping is the rendered fat from your meats and stuff.
So, when you cook bacon, you get white fat.
Oh, that white stuff that you wipe out of the fry pan. And you just put that on bread.
Oh, it takes 10 years.
Put it straight on the bread and then eat it.
Wow. Pretty good, Brendan. I love that stuff.
I mean, I don't know how your cholesterol's going after something like that, but it doesn't matter, right?
Nah.
Short term.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it with Weight Watchers.
No. Yeah.
No, no.
Stewie's in Byford. Stewie, what's your kind of frugal feed there, mate?
My wartime one is exactly a wartime one. It came from my grandfather. It's curried mince.
Oh, yes.
Curried mince.
So yeah, it started out as curried bully beef.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then when it came back to Australia, because you could get minced meat, it was just minced meat fried up and then added whatever veggies you had in the fridge or lying around the pantry, and then a couple of teaspoons of curry.
I can't see anything wrong with that.
I mean, curry saves everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It gives it flavour.
It is the best.
Yeah, that's the way to save a meal, I think.
Yeah.
And the best part about it, you put it in the fridge and it gets better over the days. It's like a casserole. It gets better as it gets older.
Thanks, Stewie.
Yes.
Yeah, it would kind of marinate itself, wouldn't it?
It would,
so,
yes. It'd
be really good.
Brendan in Bankshire Grove, mate, tell us, what are we doing here? What are you cheaping out on and making wartime recipes with?
So it's actually more of a saying. So my grandparents grew up in the war. Yeah. So when I was a kid, they actually used to say when I was always hungry, you know, what's for dinner? They used to say it was air pie or bread and run around.
Cute.
So literally just a slice of bread and you go to run around or yeah, air pie.
I mean, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, very, and a great way to lose weight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Oh, yes, the one and only Adrian Barrage. G'day, mate.
Hi, guys. Speaking of Top Gun, I was the Iceman on the weekend.
Oh, yes. You got dunked?
For the big freeze, yeah, for motor neurone disease?
Yeah, because that was my link. It was more or less a dunking machine. Sam Kerr did it. I don't know what Chelsea thinks when they saw their superstar, $10 million superstar.
I know.
Getting dunked at a stadium in Perth, they're probably a bit shocked.
Isn't that part of the recovery? I thought that every time you go out and play a game, you have to get in an ice bath. Yes. I thought that was the whole thing.
That's true. So I did the same thing, of course. And Timmy, I don't know, did you guys record any audio?
Yeah,
of that?
Yeah, there's actually a bit of audio. You have a listen to this.
Our very own Adrian Barrage.
Oh,
it would have been awful, though.
That was me going, oh, with a very high-pitched voice.
How long does it take the water to hit you, as in, like,
is it cold instantly,
or is there a few moments before you go, oh, God, I've got to get out?
It's a big shock, but it actually makes you feel a lot better. I think having cold showers might be a good thing.
Oh, yes,
going
apparently
forward.
It is.
Apparently good for your health. So,
Catherine Hepburn, you remember the old actress? She used to do that every morning.
Where's Catherine now, hey?
Yeah, right.
She aged well. I was wearing my first ever tracksuit and it had shrunk. I don't know what happened.
Well, shrinkage will happen in that situation, as we know.
Oh, yeah. No, I was talking about the last 30 years. And so the Eagles were actually inspired by having their 1992 premiership team there, their first ever premiership team. And they did a lap of honour and sort of John Worsfold had COVID, so he missed it. Peter Matera had a heart concern and had surgery,
yes,
so he wasn't here.
When you say lap of honour, did they put him in a buggy and drive around? Or was it like, no, guys, get running, one lap?
No, there was no walking frames or whatever. They were out there and it was quite moving, actually. A lot of things emerged about the actual grand final in 92, like the fact that the boys all, and I was with them, I didn't play, but I was with the team, and we walked down from the hotel, the top of the hill, the Hilton, down to the MCG for the match. So normally you go with the bus, you wouldn't walk through the hoi polloi. And that actually fired up the boys because we got so much abuse between the hotel and the ground. And they were wearing sort of West Coast flankers stickers, all the fans, all the Geelong fans.
Oh, okay,
and it wasn't flankers, you know, something wrong with that.
Yes.
And one of the players actually snapped a teenage boy's flag because he kept whacking him with his flag and he grabbed his flag and snapped it. So it sort of, by the time they got to the ground, the boys were so pumped, they were never going to lose. And that was kind of the theme of the day. Not this year, not this year. Last year we lost the premiership, not this year. And that was the motto that emerged 30 years later on the ground. That's what they were saying to each other.
And it fired the boys up,
and
you think?
I think it fired up the Eagles guys. They thought, geez, if these guys can still keep going around, and it's painted the picture of what's possible. And they inspired them. Jeremy McGovern, not so great for him, broke his ribs.
Yep.
And he's actually still in hospital. He's probably listening from Royal Perth as we speak. I don't know if you've ever had broken ribs, but it's the worst possible
quite painful.
Pain. Yeah, I had bruised ribs.
I've got
ribs.
Hairline fractures and they were still like, it's enough.
When you cough or you sneeze or go to the bathroom, you can't sleep. So we wish him all the best. He'll get out today. I did want to mention too last night the Logies. You guys would have checked out the Logies.
Yes.
We did, yes.
And probably the most emotional moment was when Bruce McAvaney was entered into the Hall of Fame for television.
I wondered how I'd feel tonight when I walked up here. I feel a lot of love, actually, and a lot of warmth, so thank you very much. I really do.
pretty emotional.
Oh, it was so beautiful, and he spoke so well, and he looked so frail too.
Did he?
Yeah. And Dennis Cometti spoke about him. Kathy Freeman spoke about him, and it was a really high point of the evening. I didn't stay awake for the Gold Logie. Who won the Gold Logie?
Hamish Blake.
Oh yeah, he's a funny guy. I was, Timmy. I did, and I swear. As I go out, I better mention State of Origin this weekend on Sunday. Do you guys like rugby league? Kimber, I know you're a huge
fan. When it's in town, all over it.
Will you be there Sunday night?
No, I'm afraid of Wayne.
We're contractually obliged to say, oh, awesome. Love rugby league.
New South Wales will win, and then so it'll be 1-1 because that's normally how it works, and then they'll head back to Queensland for the decider. And, yeah, it'll be a great day for Western Australia, and I think they're going to get 50 or 60,000. So an amazing event for Western Australia. So thank you, my friends. Give my best to Pete, and we'll see the Dockers this weekend. They come back, and they'll be top of the ladder, I reckon. They're going beautifully.
Yeah. Very well.
Excellent.
Beautiful. Thank you, Barry.
See you, guys.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Optus Stadium, July 22 and 23, as we know, Leeds United, Crystal Palace, Aston Villa and Manchester United will be playing some football, some pre-season games.
Unless that he said, as we know. like, oh, of course. I mean, it's earmarked in my diary, 22nd.
As it should be. And, of course, it will be including the one and only Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, three waiting for a ball. It's still Ronaldo. He's gone for goal. And what a goal.
Of course, his grandparents live here in Perth.
Oh, cute. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he'll have things to do. Mm-hmm. But how do we entertain some of the highest paid young men in the world? Mm. You know, they do whatever they want, right?
Mm. Of course. They would have travelled everywhere.
Everywhere.
Mm. Well, is there anything on their itinerary as it stands?
Plans are afoot. They're going to take them to, if the ferries are running, depending on the weather, they're going to take them to Rottnest.
Okay.
To get the quokka selfie, because, of course, that's on every Premier League player's wish list.
Cute.
To get the quokka selfie. And also, again, just to paint a picture of how fun it is to live in Perth, there are plans to take them to the Caversham Wildlife Park.
Caversham Wildlife Park is super cute.
I'm sure it
is. And you get to meet the wombat and you can feed some animals and hold a couple of reptiles, but probably not the place that I'm expecting to take premiership players from around the world.
But maybe, I mean, there's always a lot of talk in Perth about, you know, how do we show ourselves to be, you know, a world city?
Well, they always they brought in that the London Eye,
yes.
The Ferris wheel for some time, didn't they? Outside the Bell Tower
the
and then down
line.
In Frio. Oh, the zip line,
which we haven't got any of those yet, no, so we've got to go to Caversham.
So they want to do the zip line from Kings Park as well, don't they? As well as the Matagorda Bridge one.
Yes, right. Of course, that's right. Yes,
You can't help but feel that they're missing out on some things, though.
Well, yes. That's like, what we need to know.
Maybe no one's thought to take them here, but this is quintessentially Australian.
Go on.
Moleskine.
Oh,
is there any chance that we could take the guys down to Moleskine? That's super Australian. Very Australian experience.
Okay.
Very Perthy.
Well, we need some help, I think, because obviously, you know, it's a big, big responsibility to entertain these young men. We want them to have a great time. And at the moment, they've got Rotto and Caversham, all, you know, God bless those two places.
They're covering it's like someone's done what's the top 10 places to go in Perth.
Yes, but not even I know the answer to that question.
No. Is that what you want?
We need some help.
Okay.
You know, we is there somewhere that no one's thought of yet to take these Premier League players?
Like a left of centre kind of place that would be cool to take someone to in Perth and show them. Yeah.
Down to the Civic for a pub lunch. That kind of thing.
I mean, we're all heading to Cristiano Ronaldo's grandparents' place.
Well,
now,
that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason's in the round. Jason, where should we take these Premier League players?
Well, we should go and show them how creative we are with limestone and take them to Atlantis.
Oh, yes. To see Captain Neptune.
Yes.
Atlantis. Oh, what a place it was. It all ended, didn't it?
Yeah. But just to show them the ruins of it would be hilarious.
Nice. You spent a lot of money making all of that come good again.
Yes, right. Mm. Oh, that's a good call, beautiful. Jason. Thank you.
We'll try Reese from Ellenbrook. Where do you reckon we should take these soccer superstars, mate?
Hey, mate. I reckon, personally, we should take them to a King's Hotel. It's an abandoned hotel in the middle of Perth. 8 floors of absolutely amazing photos and aestheticness. But yeah, boys.
Where is this place?
It's literally in the middle of the city. If you took a photo there, you'd see every building around you. It's in plain sight. If you wouldn't know it's there, you wouldn't know.
Reece, why isn't anyone using it?
Well, it's been abandoned since 2016 because of funds, and ever since the last three floors from the road up is just office buildings now.
Okay. So yes. What's it called, man? What's it, Urban X is written in our box here. Is that what it's called?
So the hotel itself is called King's Hotel. Uh-huh. You can't actually find the address online anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of just if you know, you know. Urbex is a shortened word for urban exploration. It's a hobby I do with a big group of friends. Urbex HQ, that's the group name.
Interesting.
I'm sure their people would love us to take them to an abandoned building in the middle of the city.
Oh, wait till you check out the East Perth power plant, guys. Yeah. Rock and roll. Cheryl in Midland, where should we be taking the Premier League players?
Alfred's Kitchen.
Oh, great. Yes. Great call.
A big pot of pea and ham soup will make them good.
Yes, it could be quite windy at Optus Stadium that night after that, Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. No.
Cheers, Cheryl. Sonia's in Hammond Park. Out of the way places to take these international soccer superstars when they get here. What do you reckon, Son?
I reckon dwelling up treetop.
Oh, the treetop walk.
Yeah, definitely. They can do the zip lining and, yeah.
Where's treetop walk where?
In Dwelling Up.
Dwelling Up. Yeah, I was going to go because I don't know if you were including that one at Kings Park. And I'm like, the thing is, it's just not really around the trees, is it?
Yeah, the Dwelling Up one is amazing.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right up really high at the Dwelling Up one, aren't you?
Yes, you can. Yeah. There's different levels. I'd imagine that'd probably be the extreme one.
And I'd love them to take them all down because we'd be talking, you know, 100 people all in those old orange school buses.
Yeah. I don't think that any of their insurance allows them to be up high or...
Probably not, no. We'll do one more. Kim from Chidlow, what do you reckon?
I was thinking Bell's Rapids might be a good spot.
Okay. Oh, Bell's Rapids, that's where I did my nude shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where those beautiful water nymph ladies came and joined me getting nude in the water there. It was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful this time of year, so I thought, why not?
Yeah, they would love it there. Again, the lawyers would love it. Slippery, jagged rocks everywhere. They're beautiful.
If Kimber and her friends were still there, they'd enjoy it.
I think we've sorted it.
Now, I consider myself quite a handy person.
Yes.
Like, you know, when it gets jumping on the tools, building things, doing things for myself. I'm quite independent and I've learned a lot of skills, I think.
Oh, you're my Scott Cam, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
I defer to you if I have a DIY problem.
Yeah, at one point you asked me to come and fix your taps because you had leaking taps. Yeah. You wanted me to go and replace the O-rings in those, and which I was going to do, just didn't get a chance to get around to it.
It was your hourly fee. I couldn't afford it.
You know, I have, like, you know, I've built my own bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean as in I put it together from IKEA. I mean, like, I bought wood, I cut wood, I designed it, I stained it, I built the bed. You know, like, I'm handy.
You are.
So on the weekend, I was told that I needed to go and replace a shower head at a place that I was selling, right? One of my first house. And I was like, it's time to get rid of it, move it on. And so they said, the only thing you need to do is replace a shower head. I went, okay, cool. That's an easy fix because it is simply remove the shower, put a new one on. I mean, anyone on YouTube will tell you that.
Unscrew the shower head. You're going to be taking your new shower head and attaching it on.
You're right. You're right, son. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. And
really?
That's what
is it that easy?
And it truly is that easy. You just get yourself a spanner and you just get that and it's the same fitting. So you're just taking one off and replacing it. And I literally replaced it with the same shower head.
Okay.
Well, it wouldn't go on. And I mean, I've used the plumber's tape. I've done everything I'm supposed to be doing. It's the simplest task ever. And every time I screw it on, it won't go up to 12 o'clock. Like, it won't go straight.
Okay.
It's slightly off between 10 or 11 somewhere. Right. And I'm going, maybe I just need to give it a little more gusto.
Mm-hmm.
Give it that last little tighten it, over tighten it, maybe a bit too much. Broke it.
Oh, really?
Broke it. Snapped the rings inside. Couldn't use it. Was like, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe all I'm doing is replacing a shower head. Got back in the car, back to Bunnings, bought another one, went back. I must have tried putting this thing on 30 times and in different directions. I was like, oh, well, if I started that at 3 o'clock, then it spun to this far. Oh, this time I'll take it back. You know, it did not work. And I've had to put it on and it is well on an angle, and I've just had to walk away. I got so mad, I had to walk away. And so I guess I'm handing in my card. I've been revoked now. I can't call myself a handy person anymore if I cannot change a simple shower head fitting.
Oh, God. What the rest of us going to do if you're handing in your card? I never had a card to begin with. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Now, my friends, you know, I try and keep my mouth shut on things that I know nothing about because I'm aware that I'm not an expert in anything, and I'm happy to be wrong on anything that I say here. But the Julian Assange has lost his bid to not be extradited to the United States. He's in London, of course, in prison, and he's going to be sent to America. And I don't understand why it's not a bigger story here.
It's fascinating you say that, because I know there's been a number of mornings over the last sort of 6 months you've come in and gone, this Julian Assange thing, why aren't we talking about it? And it has been met with a few like, oh, I don't know, why are we talking about it? And I, out of curiosity, I Googled to say, what do Aussies think of Julian Assange?
Yep.
And this probably sums it up. Someone said, to many Aussies, possibly the majority, Assange is just some weird-looking dude who annoyed the Americans and had to live in an embassy somewhere.
Yes.
I don't think people really know the gist of what went down.
Well, I mean, that's essentially right. He is a weird-looking dude who annoyed the Americans, and he annoyed the Americans, of course, because Bradley Manning, who's now Chelsea Manning, sorry to use her dead name, gave WikiLeaks huge amounts of information, which Julian Assange published, and it was incredibly revealing about the lies and the brutality of what was happening in the Middle East. So I guess what I don't understand is, where are the big journalists in our country who are standing up and going, this guy did what any good journalist will do.
Yeah, it's meant to be exposing the truth,
publish
which is the role of a journalist.
And protected his whistleblower.
Yeah.
And we're now just going to give him over to the United States to God knows what's going to happen to him. And it's like, we're the 99%. We have no power. We rely on people with the courage to, and I don't know if Julian Assange is a hero, but what WikiLeaks did was heroic.
Yeah, yeah.
We're relying on them to protect us and to reveal what these people will do for power and for money.
But I don't think journalism is that anymore. That's what I'm concerned about. Like, journalism to me now these days, and this is going to sound terribly disrespectful to journalists, but it's like they get hired under the prospect of, like, what kind of clickbait can you get?
Sure.
They're not really out searching for, you know, we praise all of the journalists who are in war-torn countries and putting themselves in the risk and, you know, putting themselves at danger. But everybody else, I think, is just like having to write rubbish articles that get clickbait just to get themselves a job and try and rise through the ranks.
Well, maybe it's the people then. The people. I mean, this, as I say, he did what we needed people to be able to do. And basically the powers have gone, you pissed us off and you're going to go down and we're going to sit there and watch it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like coming out of Aaron Brockovich going, Aaron Brockovich was the bad guy in this film. You know, he published the truth.
I don't think. Maybe people just aren't ready for the truth. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, journalism now is just give us your opinion on this other person's opinion.
Well, I don't know. It sets a line in the sand for me that is very scary.
Yeah, we'll watch it unfold across the next couple of weeks. And PM Albo has come out and said that, hey, this has gone on long enough. So maybe he'll support Assange. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Pete, Matt, and Kimber.